Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. So excited to have the great Dr. Matt Pfeiffer in studio. He's a great shoulder surgeon up in Santa Barbara. We got Jay Patterson on the line at 8:15. He's going to join me. Dennis O'Keefe flying all the way out to be with us. And the great Steve Paulette. I feel like a puppet, and he's the puppeteer. And I just love trying to connect the dots in a way that can surprise you. What would be the association and the connection of shoulder surgery, Jimi Hendrix, and Rick Barry? But that's why you listen. And I appreciate you all for listening and telling your friends each and every Saturday morning. Did 6 cases yesterday, 2 hip replacements and 4 knee replacements. It's kind of a routine now for me. People coming from all over. Earlier in the show, actually, one of them I operated on yesterday called in, which is a little crazy, but it's a beautiful thing. So my challenge this week was I wanted to talk about the innovators, the advancement. And there is a company that makes the tools that most of us use all over the world, Arthrex. And Reinhold, the man who started it from nothing, has now created tools and widgets and gadgets and techniques that allow me as a surgeon to take care of you, the weekend warrior and the warrior, better, because they keep pushing the envelope of making things just like the athletes. They're bigger, stronger, faster, except in the case of surgical techniques, you want them smaller, faster, more efficient. 30 years I've been in practice. You know how I used to do shoulder replacements and shoulder? So you take a knife, you open up the whole shoulder. Now, they're puncture wound procedures. It's just so elegant. So what's the next frontier? You know what the next frontier is? When I started in practice 30 years ago and you completely ripped your rotator cuff and the muscle atrophied and died, you'd come to me, your shoulder looked fine, and then you'd say, I'm 70 years old, Dr. Clapper. I'm in pain at night and I can't lift my arm above my head. I do an MRI and you don't have any more rotator cuff. You may have your pec major, your deltoid, your trapezius muscle, which you can see under your shirt, under your skin, but those muscles are not able to lift your arm above your head. And you know what I told patients? I'm sorry, we can't help you. Go to therapy and live happily ever after. Until the innovators came in and said, that's unacceptable. Well, how are you going to grow a tendon? If you look at a picture of me, you'll see I have no hair on top of my head. I can't grow hair. The dentist can't grow teeth. I'm not growing a rotator cuff. What am I going to do with you? And you have arthritis also. So I've got to somehow help the ball and socket joint with arthritis, and you have no cables that are attached to it. Well, the solution coming out of France originally was the craziest Pablo Picasso idea of making the ball into the socket into the ball. And don't copy
the first the game away with that is, year I made.
And don't copy the anatomy that is provided, but come up with something different. So it made me think all week about reversing things in life in the world of sports and in the world of art. And I thought about reverse when I thought about art and music in this guy. Jimi Hendrix. In a way that you'll never hear anyone else play the guitar. Jimi Hendrix is a lefty. And Fender Stratocasters, when he started out in the 60s, did not have, for him, certainly in Seattle where he grew up, a left-handed guitar. So Jimi Hendrix took the guitar, flipped it over, upside down and backwards, in reverse. And that's what you're hearing right now. His story is amazing. He grew up in a difficult household with no money. He's walking along the street. He's 15 years old, and he sees in the trash a ukulele with one string. He bangs on the door and asks the woman, "I know it's in the garbage, but can I have it?" She says, "Yes." And he goes home and listens to the radio and teaches him how to mimic with one string on the ukulele the sounds he's hearing on the radio. His father helps him get his very first guitar. He flips it over, plays it in reverse. Jimi Hendrix had such an appreciation of the notes and the sounds that can come out of the guitar upside down and backwards. And yet, he could not get a job here in America. It took going to London for this reverse guitar player to get noticed. Listen to Eric Clapton talking about seeing Jimi Hendrix for the very first time.
He said, "Bring him down and have him jam with us."
We were just getting ready to go on, and Chaz showed up, Chaz Chandler, with this young black guy who was very striking in every way. I mean, his appearance and his manner, which was, to say the least, very, very shy. He was extremely shy, but at the same time, quite kind of aware of himself, you know. And Jimmy got up, and he brought his own guitar, and he was left-handed for a start, and he played a normal Strat, you know, so it was, the whole thing was upside down. So that was a little astonishing. And he went straight into Killing Floor, the Howling Wolf song. He played just about every style you could think of, you know, and not in a flashy way. I mean, I think he did a few of his tricks, like playing it with teeth and behind his back, things like that, but it wasn't in an upstaging sense at all. And that was it, you know. I think we did maybe just that song, and he walked off, and my life was never the same again, really.
Eric Clapton telling you that his life was, he's considered the greatest guitar player of all time, but he's telling you, no, it's Jimi Hendrix. And if you think about it, if he's so capable that he can play with his teeth behind his back, reverse and upside down and backwards, his knowledge of what that guitar can do is off the chart. Guess who came to see him? No one in America, by the way, wants to see the guy. He's in London. The Beatles, Mick Jagger. This is his manager talking about what the phenomena was like.
We were doing like small clubs, and the buzz got about, and
buzz.
Suddenly all these little clubs we were doing, we were getting £15 or something. I never saw it anyway. And suddenly it was packed, and there was like all these like celebrities coming along, which sort of freaked me out a bit, because I was very young. Like, you're sitting in the dressing room and John Lennon walked in.
The Beatles and the Rolling Stones were the aristocracy of music at the time, and they very early on became big fans of Jimmy. Is that the stars in the sky? I mean, I remember Jagger turning around in an interview one day and saying, "Why the hell are you interviewing me? You should be interviewing Jimi Hendrix." Things like that made it happen so quickly.
He played the guitar in a reverse way. How about in sports? Well, it's legendary that Shaquille O'Neal could not make free throws. Listen to Shaq talking about, "Hey, Shaq, maybe if you shot the ball underhand like Rick Barry, you could actually improve your free throw shooting." This is his response.
Because it's boring.
But it's been proven to be somewhat effective.
No, it's not. It's not proven. Just because a couple guys did it doesn't mean anybody can do it.
Oh, you got to love Shaq. Here he is.
I told Rick Barry I'd rather shoot 0% than shoot underhand. I'm too cool for that.
And you, let me tell you something. Introducing the reverse shoulder surgery to surgeons, they're too cool for that. I'm not doing something in reverse.
I think it was the man upstairs' way to just keep me humble. Because imagine me with the game that I had shooting like Steph Curry from the free throw line. I'd probably be a difficult man to deal with. Because in my mind, I would know that I'm the best player ever created. Better than Will, better. So it was just a way to keep me humble. But when it came time to really buckle down and concentrate, and you got a whole crowd doubting you and a whole crowd supporting you, I always knocked them down.
What's Rick Barry's response to that?
There's been a lot of surveys done. It's not surveys, research done by physicists. And they have said that mine is the most effective way to shoot free throws because it's a fluid motion, it's a softer shot. So everything from the standpoint of the physical aspect of it has been proven that it's a better shot for them to try and that they won't do it.
The problem is in the teaching. Listen to Rick Barry.
Shaq's guy came up to me one time when he worked with me, he said the Lakers, he said, he saw me, he said, oh, he introduced himself, I'm the shooting coach, I work with Shaq. Well, we tried the underhand free throw, and I looked at him, I said, you tried the underhand free throw? I said, who taught him? He said, well, I was working with him. And I'm looking at myself like, this is a guy that doesn't have any idea what I do, and he said that he worked with Shaq and it didn't work, which is crazy.
The passion he has for it is great, but there's actually a fundamental difference of when a big man, Shaq, Wilt Chamberlain, DeAndre Jordan, when they try to shoot free throws, it's different because they're taller. Listen to Tommy Heinsohn.
Basic problem with the big people is small people are teaching them how to shoot a free throw so that the big people have too much motion in the shot. And so many things go wrong. They cannot soften the shot up enough because they're too strong.
So the underhanded free throw may be right for them.
I was totally amazed. The guy was just so strong.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Too strong. They can't soften the shot up, and they have too much motion in the shot. If I was teaching free throws to the big guys, I'd have them put the ball here and shoot it from there.
Yep.
Not all this mechanics, arm, and, you know, push the legs. And, I mean, Wilt Chamberlain's the best shot, other than the roll down the fingertips into the basket shot, was the fall-away jumper.
Yeah.
Because that took his strength away so he could soften his shot.
And listen to Wilt Chamberlain. They actually sent him to a psychiatrist. Listen to what he says. That the psychiatrist became a better free throw shooter than him.
I just got progressively worse. I think it was totally a head case. You can say whatever you want. I shot foul shots very good when I concentrated. But I lost my concentration, and people always would say, hey, do it this way, do it that way, and whatever, you know. They had no idea better than I did. I was just, you know, I just missed a lot of fouls.
I went to a psychiatrist, just then, you know, and for about a month on my free throw situation. After a month, I gave it up. Somebody else paid for the session, $50 a session. I won't say it wasn't, you know, and I after I came out of it for a whole month, the psychiatrist was a better free throw shooter than I was.
So on Twitter, I put out there, what does Jimi Hendrix, Rick Barry, and the great Dr. Matt Pfeiffer have in common? And the answer, you now know, that they're really good at doing things in reverse. Coming up next, we're going to talk about another huge innovation in the world of orthopedic surgery from Arthrex. It's called the VIP, Virtual Implant Positioning. What does that mean, virtual? We're going to be talking to the great Jay Patterson about this new innovation. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. Ah, I love this song. The beat around. Vicky Sue Robinson. That's right. Upside down. I'm totally convinced that if I'm listening to this while I'm doing someone's knee surgery, I've implanted this song into their knee. So when they go to a bar mitzvah or a wedding and they put out the disco ball, they'll go, oh my God, I'm dancing better than I ever did before. It's almost as if the music's in my knee. Big shout out to Jared Abrams, who's driving around town. He and I will be doing the fantasy football injury report once the season starts. I can't wait. So much fun today. All right, I want to talk about this amazing innovation. And the number is 877-710-ESPN. We're going to do a segment now with Jay Patterson. And then we will take the calls. The clinic will be open. It's just fascinating. I just remember my dad. I must have been 8 years old. He came home one day with the biggest smile on his face. He was always so intently working. Dad, why are you so happy? Robbie, today I went to the lumber yard. Because there's no conference. There's no journal. There's no internet in 1967 or whatever when I was 10. How did a carpenter learn what the new technology was in those days? he would go to the lumberyard and standing on line to pay for the 2x4, some guy would say, hey, Abraham or Abe, I got this new tool. That's how he learned. So he came home one day with a Milwaukee Sawzall. And this tool allowed him to cut into the wooden 2x4 the place for the outlet to be mounted. And I said, so what's so great about that? He goes, Robbie, I used to have to use a hammer and a chisel and carve out to make room for the outlet box. And now it's just going to take me a few seconds rather than 15 minutes. It's the greatest. It's going to help me so much. I still have, by the way, that Milwaukee Sawzall that he talked about in the red box. It's all rusted. But that's probably the most valuable thing in my house is his Milwaukee Sawzall. And it made me think, whatever I do someday for a living, I want to make Milwaukee Sawzalls. I want to make better tools to make the life easier for surgeons. And that is what Arthrex does. And that's why we have the great Jay Patterson on the phone right now. Jay, can we talk about the Milwaukee Sawzall of orthopedics, better known as VIP?
Let's do it.
So, first question, how the hell does it work? Why does it work? What do we need this device to do? It's not just an X-ray, it's a CAT scan to deal with patients who have deficiencies in their bone because they didn't just wear out the cartilage. They actually started to crumble the bone itself. Tell us about where this innovation comes from, the history of it.
Well, it comes from, I think, is born out of a need to better understand the glenoid morphology or pathology, the way in which it wears, just like you were talking about. And I love the analogy that Dr. Pfeiffer had given earlier about pitching into the strike zone. As good as shoulder surgeons are at doing these procedures, there's always room for better visualization and better understanding of the joint that they're operating on. And by getting a preoperative CT, it allows them to virtually view in three-dimensional space the patient's unique anatomy. And then from that unique anatomy view, they're able to create a plan. You had previously referenced a house plan or a blueprint. Essentially, that's what they're doing for the surgery that's going to follow this plan. So they'll create a plan. They'll get a plan that they can execute against in the OR. So in a sense, they've been already doing the surgery virtually, and then now they can transfer that plan to the patient on the table and make sure that they're hitting that strike zone every single time.
Do you need special instruments to do this?
That's a great question. So yes. So there are a multitude of companies that do this. What makes us unique is that we have reusable instrumentation that's supplied to the hospitals that can be something that's present and ready to go within 24, 48 hours. And what that does is it allows for surgeons to be more efficient with their patient scheduling, and so that once a plan is approved by the surgeon, a patient can literally be in the OR within 24, 48 hours to execute against that plan.
You know, what it reminds me of is Eric Clapton seeing Jimi Hendrix for the first time. People played the guitar and they got really good at it, but they were never as good as you can play it with your teeth or behind your back or holding the guitar upside down and backwards. Not everyone has that ability to close their eyes and visualize where all the notes will come from on the guitar. Not every surgeon is that good that they can visualize three-dimensionally. You, in essence, are taking the surgeon who's a pretty good guitar player and making them into Jimi Hendrix. This is Eric Clapton. I want to hear your reaction to him seeing Jimi Hendrix for the first time.
He said, bring him down and have him jam with us.
We would... just ready, getting ready to go on, and Chaz showed up, Chaz Chandler, with this young black guy who was very striking in every way. I mean, his appearance and his manner, which was, to say the least, very, very shy. He was extremely shy, but at the same time, quite kind of aware of himself, you know. And Jimmy got up, and he brought his own guitar. And he was left-handed for a start, and he played a normal Strat, you know, so it was, the whole thing was upside down. So that was a little astonishing. And he went straight into Killing Floor, the Howling Wolf song. He played just about every style you could think of, you know, and not in a flashy way. I mean, he did, I think he did a few of his tricks, like playing it with teeth and behind his back and things like that. But it wasn't in an upstaging sense at all. And that was it, you know. I think we did maybe just that song. And he walked off, and my life was never the same again, really.
So in essence, in a three-dimensional Z-axis, he was comfortable with the notes. That's why he could do it upside down, backwards, with his teeth behind his back. Not everybody's capable of doing it, but it sounds like you allow the surgeon to become Jimi Hendrix in the operating room.
That's our intent.
Wow. Does it cost more?
So it does have a nominal cost, but it's not something that's costly to the institution, and that's what some of what makes our solution unique. So some of the competitors charge as much as $1,000 to $2,000 extra. So this is much more of a value-added play for Arthrex and its users. So what we provide is the reusable instrumentation, so they can again use it very efficiently, and then they have the option of having essentially a no-cost or even a nominal cost plan that's provided. The nominal cost really comes in if they decide to recreate through 3D printing the patient's scapula, so the patient's glenoid bone or the socket. So that actually can be printed out three-dimensionally and provided to the surgeon sterilely, so they can actually look in a physical manifestation of the patient's bone on the operative field, and that allows them to even better reference what they're looking at inside the patient's body. So there is a nominal fee associated with that, but they can opt to use that or not, depending on what the patient's anatomy dictates.
Dr. Pfeiffer, you use this stuff. You just showed me some beautiful cases that you've done. Tell us, how has this VIP, this virtual imaging, changed the outcomes for your patients?
So when I first, this is actually one of the reasons why I started using the Arthrex system, was this VIP. It's such a novel idea. And when I started using it before, you freehand where we put this one central core base pin that builds the entire glenoid or the cup side off. So you put this pin in based on where you think it's going to be, and that's what this VIP guides you to become like Jimi Hendrix and play the perfect note. So I'd actually test myself, and I'd say, like, okay, I'm going to freehand it without this VIP system. This is where I would put it. Then I put that VIP jig on that guides me to be Jimi Hendrix, and I see how close I was. I love testing myself. I like to see how close I can get it right. You know, I'd probably say 80% of the time I was within the ballpark, but on some of those more advanced shoulders where there's great deformity, I wish I would have been closer. And another thing about the cost is I do a lot of revision shoulder surgery. So if the implant was put in and unfortunately a lot of factors can cause it to fail, sometimes they end up showing up at my door. What costs more than anything to the patient, to the taxpayers that pay the hospital bills, is revision surgeries. Mm-hmm. They're a lot harder if the shoulder was not put in perfectly like Jimi Hendrix the first time.
Got it.
So when you use these type of systems, it allows you to have more accurate placement of the components. Patients do better. Mm-hmm. I think eventually we're going to see that the revision rate is going to go down as well.
It's fantastic. Jay, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it. And the future looks great. Where is the future of this VIP technology? What are you guys working on now?
Well, we want to expand just beyond. This is a guidance system for all the subsequent surgical steps, and so we want to be able to bring in the humeral side or the ball side of the anatomy into that same planning stage as well, and also even further hone our accuracy in terms of where all the screw placements go, and just a myriad of things that's going to allow us to even create better patient outcomes based off the visualization we're providing to surgeons.
The thing that I was early in my years, 30 years ago, even more than that, when I was just a resident of special surgery, my wife made me get my teeth cleaned. I just really don't like going to the doctor or the dentist. But she insisted that I go get my teeth cleaned. And so I went to Uncle Dave, who was a pediatric dentist, and she said, relax, he'll give you a lollipop. He's not going to hurt you. He's just going to clean your teeth. I said, okay. So I go, and I sit in the chair with my white knuckles, and Uncle Dave said, Robbie, relax, I'm just going to clean your teeth. I go, time out. How are you going to clean my teeth? He says, I'm going to use this device. It's an ultrasonic scaler. I go, time out, Uncle Dave. How is that tool not going to crack my tooth, and it's going to crack the plaque? They're both hard surfaces. How does it know the difference? And he looked at me, he goes, I'm a dentist. I have no idea. Just shut up. I'm going to clean your teeth. And he used this tool on my teeth. And I was amazed. I went back, and, you know, there's no internet. I went to the library afterwards, and I realized that it's basically a smart handpiece. In other words, the frequency ultrasonically that the tool moved was unique, like a tuning fork was unique, that it knew, that the tool knew that it was plaque because of its frequency that was hard, and could distinguish that from the hard enamel of your tooth. In other words, the tool itself, I won't say artificial intelligence, but because of the right and wrong frequency, only worked on what it was supposed to work on. And when I ask you the question, what's the future, you know, where are you guys headed, that's where I see the tools that I'd love you to have, that they actually become smart hand tools, that they start to give us information as surgeons. As Dr. Ranawat used to say, the eyes don't see what the mind doesn't know. It's fun for Dr. Pfeiffer to say, I'm going to challenge myself to see if I'm as good as the tool says I should be, and then see where you are. That's exactly the way surgeons would feel, is, you know, like playing chess against the computer. Can I beat the computer? But that's where you guys need to go, is make that handpiece smarter for us. That would be my vote for where the future would be. Jay, I want to thank you for waking up early to be with us. It's really cool to hear how the industry is making the world a better place. So thanks so much.
So good to be with you. Thanks very much.
Okay, my pleasure. All right, Warriors, we'll take a break. We're going to pay some bills. Coming up next, where in food do you do things in reverse and you get to be Jimi Hendrix? For me, it's an pineapple upside-down cake that's a cupcake. But wait till I tell you the Clapper way to eat a cupcake, and I will give you a clue. It involves eating the cupcake in reverse, and I'll explain. The number is 877-710-ESPN. Coming up next on the Weekend Warrior Show. This is Forever Young. Who's singing this?
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z? That's not Jay-Z singing right now. That's somebody else. But I will tell you this, here on the Weekend Warrior Show, by the way, the number is 877-710-ESPN, I do not want to be forever young. I love getting older because of what you get when you get older. July 24th is going to be my birthday. You can send me birthday cards to the station if you want. I'd love to hear from all of you. I'm going to be 62 years old. I love not being forever young. Because of the sixth sense. No matter what you do, whether you're a plumber like Vincent Laporcio, my favorite plumber, you're an electrician, you're an IT guy, you're a carpenter, you're a truck driver, I don't care, you're an Uber driver, a Lyft driver, you do that job for a while, and you will start to develop, maybe after 10,000 times, I mean, I do 500 surgeries a year for 30 years, 15,000 surgeries. Doesn't take much. I just have to touch the skin of your knee, your hip, your shoulder. And it sounds crazy, but I'm here to tell you, I can see through the skin, just like I can see through the block of marble at the figure. So this will be the one show that is not anti-aging. I'm pro-aging, because that's where the sixth sense comes. You walk into a meeting now, you've been in the bank, wherever it is that you're working for all these years. What does it take you? 2 seconds to go, this guy I can trust, this one I can't trust, this one will do this one will do that. It's one of the coolest things, but it takes time and it takes experience. What a fun show today, because it is a crazy topic to think in reverse, to think virtually. But it's there. The world of art, the world of sports, the world of surgery, they are the same. It's my job to figure out each week how to connect all those dots. Next week, my guest is going to be a real estate agent. One of my favorite real estate agent, Cassandra Bluer. Now, what am I going to talk about that's interesting in art, in sports, and in surgery about real estate? I am going to talk about Nile Rodgers. Remember him from Chic? We should play this song, Steve Paulette. Good times. Nile Rodgers. Behind the scenes, working with Madonna, working with Pharrell. This guy's everywhere. But wait till you hear Nile Rodgers teach us all what happened with the Rapper's Delight and how they used his bass beat from the song Good Times, and how his cousin was a disco, no, not a disco, I think in the OJs or something like that. Nile Rodgers is going to teach us about real estate. And you're going, how is he going to teach us about real estate? Next week, I'm already thinking about how I'm going to connect those dots. But you can understand now, after listening to today's show, how Jimi Hendrix and Rick Barry and a shoulder surgeon who's doing things upside down and backwards are exactly the same. So, what about food? Where are we going to connect the dots with food? So there's an entity called a pineapple upside down cake, where you basically cook it in the oven and then you turn it upside down to serve it so the pineapples are on top. But there is a bakery in town that makes a cupcake that's kind of like that. And the cupcake is called a hummingbird. The bakery is Magnolia Bakery. They're from New York, but they're in L.A. now. This is the Clapper way to eat a cupcake. You ready? You go in there. Hi, Dr. Clapper sent me. I need a hummingbird cupcake. Hopefully they won't run out. Usually the bakeries run out of whatever it is I talk about, but get there quick. But you can do this with any cupcake. I just happen to love upside down, pineapple upside down cake. So there's the cupcake. It's in the little paper wrapper, and it has the icing on top. Peel the paper off. Okay, so now you're holding the cupcake, icing on top. My mouth is watering already. I want you to hold the cupcake in your right hand if you're a righty. Take your left hand now. Grab the widest part of the cupcake where the icing is mounted on top. And now I want you to screw clockwise, counterclockwise, which essentially detaches the icing and the wide part of the cupcake from the bottom. Correct? Now I want you to take, this is why it's reverse, I want you to take what's in your left hand now, which is the icing and the wide part of the cupcake, keep holding in your right hand the bottom of the, and now reverse upside down so that the icing is now on the bottom, and in essence, you now have cake, icing, and cake. You've made a cupcake sandwich out of a cupcake. Now I want you to bite into it. This is the greatest way to eat a cupcake, because you're eating it in reverse. So there you go. And when you do it this for July 4th, you'll tell all your friends, Dr. Clapper said, I'm eating a cupcake in reverse. It's a revolution. And tell all your friends. All right, let's take some calls. We'll open the clinic. Let's go to Bill in Temecula. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hey, Dr. Clapper. I've been standing your show.
Thank you. Let me ask you a question. Is this show too technical, or are you loving it the way it is?
No, it is excellent. I understand completely.
Thank you.
It has helped me a lot.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. What do you do for a living, Bill?
I'm a production supervisor at a factory.
What does the factory make?
We make construction products. Basically glue, adhesives, insets for your tile and grout.
Wow. Do you really understand how a glue works, Bill?
Yeah, it's hard to understand, but it takes a lot of components to make something sticky.
In college, in order to get into medical school, you got to take organic chemistry, okay? By the way, I'm an orthopedic surgeon for 30 years. I have never used any of the information that I learned in college to be an orthopedic surgeon, including organic chemistry, okay? But yeah, what I took away from my organic chemistry class, Professor Dawson, who taught it for like 30 years at Columbia, was one thing, and I don't know if it relates to glue, but I bet you it's the same thing. Because this guy had the patent on Tide detergent. Do you know how a detergent works? How does putting the detergent in the water get the dirt off your clothes? Do you know how this works? I'm going to tell you. It turns out that dirt is a protein. And dirt, because it's a protein, is actually with a tiny electrical charge that is negative. Okay, just go with me. It's not positive. It's charged. Dirt is electronegative. The genius behind detergent is that the soapy bubbles create a negative charge in the water. So guess what happens? You know, a magnet, a positive attracts a negative, right? That's why the two magnets come together, like you put on the refrigerator.
I do know that.
Right? So the opposites attract. This is why I'm married for 35 years, but that's a whole nother story. The opposites attract. But you know that if you have the two magnets of the same charge, they repel each other, right? If you have two negative charges, they push each other away. That's how the magnetic train works, by the way, without friction, because the car rises above the track because they make them both negative. That's how a detergent works. It makes the water electronegative, so it repels the dirt off of the clothes. And I bet you, Bill, in Temecula, your glue that you work in that factory probably uses tiny electric charges to make things stick together. Bill, I got to ask you a favor. Can you stay on the line? I got to pay some bills, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to talk to you, okay?
All right, sure.
All right, hold on a second. All right, you're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show, where we're talking about cupcakes, Tide detergent, and adhesive glues. Just please don't eat the glue. The cupcake is what you need to eat. The number is 877-710-ESPN, and you're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show. Wow. This is a desert island song for me. You get only one song to play on that desert island. Michelle Branch and Carlos Santana, Game of Love. Yeah, that's going to be there. But this beat, and you're going to learn next week, that this actual bass beat that Nile Rodgers put together started, and they use it in Rapper's Delight. And theoretically, Rapper's Delight started rap music and the hip-hop scene. It all goes back to Nile Rodgers. But he's so fantastic. And he's going to teach us indirectly about real estate. I can't wait. I almost can't wait till next Saturday to do the show, the special July 4th weekend show. But let's get into our visit with Bill in Temecula. Bill in Temecula. Bill, sorry about that. Thanks so much for hanging on the line.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. How can I help you, young man?
And listen, my knee makes a popping noise when I go from the sitting position and I try to stand up.
Is it painful, or is it painful, Bill, or just makes noise?
It just makes the noise. It's just kind of disturbing, but it's not painful at all.
So here's the key, Bill. When it just makes noise, it's like cracking your knuckle. Those are nitrogen bubbles in the motor oil, in the synovium, bursting. I'm here to tell you, and you can tell all your friends at the factory, noise alone, no worries. As we say in New York, forget about it. It ain't going to be a problem. However, if the noise is associated with pain, swelling, or limited motion, then it's a problem. But if it's just noise and noise alone, then you don't have to worry, Bill.
All right. I play basketball on it a lot, and it doesn't bother me.
You're 45 years old, and you're still playing basketball a lot.
Yeah.
My new name for you, Bill, is not Bill from Temecula. You know what my name for you is? Pre-op. Sooner or later, Bill, you're going to be in my office if you keep this up.
So
you need to recognize that I'm not here to take away the basketball from you, but you better be riding a stationary bike, walking in a pool, using the elliptical, and stay away from treadmill, lunges, squats, stair machines, weights for the legs. I'm gonna let you have a vice. You can have basketball once or twice a week, but you better spend the rest of the week doing nurturing exercises so you can play basketball.
Oh, okay, yeah, I wasn't even thinking of that.
And do not let anyone shoot cortisone or any needles or cockamamie things inside your knee ever, okay?
Got it.
Now, you listen to the show every Saturday?
Yes.
What is your favorite show that I did? What's your favorite Clapper Vision? What's your favorite story?
It had to be, this was, you know, you were talking about a restaurant in L.A. you went to. I can't remember. Oh, my goodness.
I spend the whole show talking about all kinds of surgeries and art. Everybody wants to meet and talk about food. It's fantastic, Bill.
I got an appetite. Once you go there, I'm tuned in.
All right, Bill, do me a favor. Find a total stranger today. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me. And thanks so much for listening.
I sure can't do that. Thank you for having me.
Okay, young man. God bless you. Okay, Warriors, I leave you with Volare. And until next week, I'll see you on the radio.